Knights come in. What a move. Carlson down the slot. Couldn't shoot. Now Peary in the middle. Blocked. Another try. Score. Brandon Peary. Underway in the third. Vegas right to left. Carlson in. Marchessault shoots and scores. 8 seconds into the period. Tuck again. Centers. Stastny stick check. Tapped up top by Tuck. Theodore shoots. He scores. John Merrill to it on the right boards. Marchessault back up top for Merrill. To the slot. He shoots. Tipped home. What a setup. William Carlson ties it 3-3.
Stationary, we are going to drive around the streets of Las Vegas doing our show inside of an RV, because why not?
All right, well, we are in the 2460 Evo.
You don't seem happy.
It is a 24 footer.
You don't seem happy.
I have a show.
Thank you.
Concentrate on that show.
You can be happy and do the show. I'm happy. I'm
you
doing the show.
Well, you're I haven't seen you this happy since.
Gets all of our fans excited.
Since I've known you, quite frankly.
This is the greatest thing we've ever done. It really is. I'm excited. Like, this RV is fantastic. There's stainless steel appliances. There's a shower. Maybe we'll,
There's a TV.
There's a TV.
Here.
We're watching Jerry Springer. Like, it doesn't get any better than this. And this is what you can do if you get an RV. If you get an RV, you can be in nature and be at home. Because this is like doing a show from my house.
Yeah, it's cool.
And we've got plenty of room between the two of us. We're not too close.
No. Well, I do have a folding chair here, and because of the computers and that for the table, we needed a little bit of space.
Well, what we're going to do...
Or I preferred a little bit of space.
What we're going to do for the next broadcast is... I think we're going to get you kind of like a little TV stand so that you can be in one of the recliner chairs, because those look really comfortable. And I think we've got a listener down here. He's reclining. You should be down here too reclining.
Yeah, it's very comfortable. It's very nice. It's a cool situation. And Johnny Walker RV, 3 locations on Boulder Highway. They have the best selection in town, best deals in town. So come on out, check them out. Once again, today we're at 4784 Boulder Highway. That's the location just north of Flamingo.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
You get excited because they're excited.
Would you like to take an RV on the road to some of the playoff games?
If we could make that happen, I'd be all about it. Like, if we could take an RV up to San Jose.
We could do the pregame from the parking lot.
Well, then how would we get into the game?
And then go into the game after for the first period.
But we'd miss it. We'd miss part of the game.
We could. Well, yeah, we would.
But I'm all in on taking an RV up to San Jose if that's the first round. That'd be great.
Actually, we wouldn't miss it if it was just the pregame. We would still have the time in between to get into the stadium and check things out.
Yeah, but you haven't been to the SAP Center. It's not very friendly when it comes to like navigating where the press box is.
So you're saying they're going to play San Jose?
What I'm saying is I don't think we can get it cleared to go up to Calgary.
Probably not.
Like, I'd like to. I think it'd be great if we could, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I think we both have other things that we got to worry about going up there, too.
Like, as...
There's a little passport situation.
as honest we are as people, I don't think that taking an RV across the border is necessarily on Johnny Walker RV's list of things to do over the course of the next 3 months.
They have nature in Canada.
They've got a lot of nature.
They have
Canada.
The Stampede up there in Calgary. Calgary might be more RV country than San Jose. Or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe just the whole world is RV country. I know it's RV country here at Johnny Walker RV.
I know. And this is a great RV. If you haven't been down here, come on down 4784 Boulder Highway. Do yourself a favor. Just jump into an RV. Literally, just walk around, spread out a little bit, grab a friend, grab a buddy, grab your family if you like them, sit down, and then see how much room there is to explore nature.
I know, I saw Ari out there. He was checking out the RVs out here, and he was thinking to himself, when I go back, I need to talk to Seidel, because I need a raise, because I need an RV now.
Was the first thing he looked at the bathroom?
Yes, it was. Actually, when I got into the RV, Chris, it's a good point. I was looking around, and I didn't see Ari, and then I looked at the bathroom, and then he was coming out of there, so that was great.
Now, I'm guessing the bathroom is top-notch, though, because it sounds like it's a top-notch RV.
Now, Ari doesn't have his mic ready and available, so I'll answer for him.
Oh, he's always got the mic ready. He just doesn't. He refuses to wear the headset because he thinks he's old school cool or something.
But yes, Ari, the bathroom is top notch.
Looks great.
The shower is top notch. The appliances are top notch. Like I shouldn't have brought food with me. I should have just come here and made some lunch while we were doing the show.
Then you would really feel like you were just out amongst nature in the
just
RV.
Just at home. I'm just at home.
Just at home.
It's great. You're excited. I'm excited.
Our sponsors are excited.
Are we going to Ottawa now?
So you get excited because they're excited. It gets me excited. Gets all of our fans excited and our sponsors.
We're a team.
I'm just happy.
All right.
We're going to do this every single time we're down here.
Right, let's do a little bit of hockey talk here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. By the way, we will have tickets to give away for the Edmonton game. That game is Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. What a great way to spend St. Patty's Day. I think Marcy's there all the time. There's a chance to see Connor McDavid as well, so that would be a pretty cool thing to do. So we will give those tickets away in a bit. But as far as the Vegas Golden Knights, and obviously this is the VGK Insider Show, but when you look around the rest of the Pacific Division, every one of the teams, at least the main teams, won again last night. San Jose gets a victory. Calgary gets a huge victory. And don't look now, but those Arizona Coyotes, by virtue of their victory last night against St. Louis, they are now the second wild card team. So San Jose or Calgary at this point right now would be facing the Arizona Coyotes in the first round if things remain the way they are today.
Right, and we've got so much time now between where we are and the end of the season. So it's very possible that this is how everything shakes out at the end. It's very possible that this changes multiple times.
It will.
And, you know, we can, as much as it's fun and as much as we like to play around and guess as to what might end up happening, I think some of the things we can bank on are this. The Golden Knights are probably making the playoffs. Calgary or San Jose are probably going to be the winners of the Pacific Division, one of those two teams. Outside of that, the wild card is just a mess. I mean, every single night, teams are going to fall in or fall out, and it's going to drive us crazy if we continue to play that guessing game. However, I still don't believe Arizona is going to make it. I liked the bounce back last night. I liked what they did last night. But I still just have a feeling about Arizona. I feel like it's just not going to work out for them.
No, it may or it may not. The thing about it is Arizona's got a lot of young talent there. So I think they're actually pointing at the future. If they made the playoffs this year, it would just be that much more ahead of schedule for them. But you mentioned the wild card, so let's look at some of those teams. Currently, Dallas is the first wild card. They have 77 points in 69 games. Arizona, by virtue of their victory last night, 75 points in 70 games. Minnesota, 74 points in 70 games. Colorado, 72 in 70. And don't look now, but the Blackhawks and the Edmonton Oilers, both with 69 points, both still in the playoff hunt, and both teams saying that they think they have a good shot to make the playoffs. Do you buy either of those two teams as being able to? Now, point-wise, they could probably do it, but that's a lot of teams to jump over.
If I'm going to hitch my ride to a team, to one of those two teams, Edmonton or Chicago, to make the playoffs.
Like you would hitch an RV to your truck while you're driving towards the playoffs?
Like I would hitch how awesome this is that we're doing a show in an RV and how much I want to do a mobile show in an RV. I would go with the Chicago Blackhawks, mainly because This is a team that's been there before. Now, granted, it's not all the pieces. All the pieces haven't been there before. All the pieces haven't found that way and haven't had success in the playoffs. But you still got Jonathan Toews. You still got Patrick Kane, who are having great seasons. Dylan Strome has been fantastic since coming over to Chicago. Alex DeBrincat is a game breaker. You've got Duncan Keith. You've got Brent Seabrook kind of solidifying things, playing better of late. If Corey Crawford can maintain his form, if he can get back to 80% of the goalie he used to be, I think the better chances with Chicago as opposed to Edmonton. That all being said, I don't think either team's going to make it.
No, I agree with you.
I would argue Chicago finishes higher than Edmonton.
I would agree with you there. And the other thing about Corey Crawford that's interesting, we mentioned how before, if Corey Crawford could get back to the old Corey Crawford, the way that this team can score goals, he doesn't even necessarily have to be the old Corey Crawford. He just has to be better than the garbage they've had in net before him this season.
Well, the problem with Chicago is that their defense is garbage, and that's exposing their goaltending. So if Corey Crawford, I mean, I would think that Corey Crawford needs to be better than he's been in a long time.
Had his best game last night.
He did. He played well. Now, again, I look at those two teams, Chicago or Edmonton. I buy Chicago's goaltending more than I do Edmonton. Of course, Edmonton has Connor McDavid, and they've got Leon Draisaitl. But outside of that, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is a piece. Darnell Nurse is a piece. I just don't think that in a tight race where every game, every point, everything matters, I don't know that I trust them to get the job done.
All right, then let me throw this your way. Of the other four teams, the four that are ahead of them right now for those wild card spots, what two do you feel will make it into the playoffs? Dallas, Arizona, currently the first and second wild cards. Minnesota and Colorado right behind them.
With Dallas, I feel like they're just too good not to make it.
And boy, you talk about somebody on a tear. Ben Bischoff, three consecutive shutouts.
172 goals against. That's it for Dallas. They've been phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal when it comes to keeping the puck out of their own net. They've only scored 174 goals, though. So the goal scoring, in theory, should come around for the Dallas Stars. They've got too many pieces for it not to take off, or at least not to be able to win them some hockey games. So I like the Dallas Stars. I think they're probably one that I would pencil in right now and feel very comfortable about. Matt Dumba skated today for the Minnesota Wild. Not sure if that moves his timeline up. I'm not sure if he's expected back soon. But if Matt Dumba can factor in somewhere in the next 12 games for Minnesota, I think that improves their chances. That being said, it's a toss-up between Minnesota and Arizona and Colorado. Those three teams, not much separates them, really, in my eyes. You've got Minnesota, who's underperformed, or maybe they're just right about where they're supposed to be. They haven't taken that next step. The trades that they have made have not really worked out. I mean, look at what Nino Niederreiter's doing in Carolina. Look at what Victor Rask is doing in Minnesota. That is a bad trade for the Minnesota Wild. So, I don't know. I think those three teams, Minnesota, Arizona, Colorado, take your pick.
I agree with you on those three. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas actually overtakes St. Louis for third in the Central Division as one of the top three teams, and they play that second-round match against either Winnipeg or Nashville. At least that's the way it looks right now, because Dallas is playing their best right now, and they're only 2 points behind St. Louis. St. Louis has played well, and Binnington has been incredible. But I think they're still getting a little bit more film on him. He hasn't been as spectacular as he was early on in the season. I wonder if maybe he hits a little bit of a lull where he comes down to a little bit more reality, because it's not like he's a rookie goaltender or something that's just taken the world by storm. He has been around for a while. And again, Ben Bishop, three consecutive shutouts. He just passed Marc-Andre Fleury for the longest shutout streak, minute-wise, well over 200 minutes now for the season. Flower had the longest one before that. And this might be the worst time that Vegas could possibly be heading down to Dallas to take on the Stars with the role they're on right now.
Yeah, you play the game that's in front of you, and I expect the Vegas Golden Knights to play a very good game in Dallas. They've always gone to Dallas and played well. But, you know, I look at this situation and I say, if you're Nashville or you're Winnipeg, which team do you want to play? Like, which team do you hope You know, if you're Nashville and you finish second, what team do you want to see, St. Louis or Dallas?
Well, what's strange about that is I don't know if it matters, because right now, the way they're sitting and the way it's looking right now, whether you're first or second, St. Louis and Dallas could be the third or the first wild card. So I don't know that you can even plan on matching up.
My question is, if you're Nashville, which team do you want to play?
If I'm Nashville,
Dallas or St. Louis?
I would rather... Wow, that's a tough one, actually. I think I would rather play St. Louis because I think they have a history of choking in the playoffs. But Dallas also is a real Jekyll Hyde team. I think both of them can be an X factor. Assuming Tarasenko comes back and he's ready, then maybe I would rather play Dallas. But Tarasenko's not even going to be evaluated for 10 days. We have no idea what his status is right now. Is he back for the end of the season? Does he miss a round of the playoffs or something? There's no word on what's wrong with Tarasenko, and that is a huge piece of the Blues puzzle.
See, if I'm Nashville, I probably want to play Dallas because Dallas has been unable to score goals with regularity. So if you're Nashville, you're a team that can put the puck in the back of the net. You do trust your goaltending. Your defense should make strides at the end of the season. This is when you pay them to be as good as they are. Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, PK Subban, Yannick Weber. I mean, this is a stacked defense. So for me, you look at what your strengths are as a team. Nashville is great defensively. They've got good goaltending. And if you put that on an opponent that struggles to score goals in and of itself, I think you have the advantage there. Now, if I'm Winnipeg, I don't care. If I'm Winnipeg, it doesn't matter. We're just better. We're just better than everybody else. We're going to beat anyone that comes in front of us.
So do you think Winnipeg wins the Central then? Because right now they're currently only a point ahead of Nashville, although they do have two games in hand.
I would be shocked if the Winnipeg Jets don't finish first. I just think that they've been playing better hockey overall than Nashville over the last little stretch. Patrick Laine is a game changer. He will figure everything out. It'll be just fine. And they're so deep. They're so deep. I like Winnipeg. I like the way that they play. They're fast. They move the puck through all three zones really efficiently, really quickly. They're heavy. They're physical. They can beat you in multiple different ways. Connor Hellebuck still kind of a question mark, but they've had...
Gave up a really bad goal yesterday.
But they've had fantastic goaltending from Laurent Brossoit in relief of Connor Hellebuck. I don't know that they would ever choose to go to him to start a playoff game, but knowing that he's there and the numbers that he's put up, I just think they're the class of the Central right now.
You mentioned the goaltending. With Binnington doing what he's doing with St. Louis right now, all four teams have goaltending that they believe in but can be suspect. We know Pekka Rinne's struggles in the playoffs somewhat. Hellebuck, like you mentioned, he's good when he's good, and when he's not quite as good. St. Louis has had goaltending problems for a while, and Dallas has. Bishop is playing out of his mind right now, but Bishop also has a problem getting injured. Which one of those teams do you feel most comfortable with between the pipes?
Ben Bishop's done it.
I mean, I think Bishop's if he's healthy.
Ben Bishop's done it before in the playoffs. Now, granted, he was playing with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and that was when the Lightning went to the Stanley Cup Final. They were phenomenal. They were as good as the team that they have right now in Tampa. That being said, Ben Bishop knows how to get there. So for me, I'm going to go on experience. I don't know how Jordan Binnington's going to do in the playoffs. That being said, he's been phenomenal. I mean, he's been really, really good. He doesn't seem to be fazed by anything. So I could see Jordan Binnington just treating it like another game, like another day.
Now, Pekka Rinne has been to the final as well, although now, he did not perform well on the road.
See, the thing with Pekka Rinne is you never know what you're going to get. You're either going to get a fantastic, fantastic Pekka Rinne, or you're going to get a guy that can't make it 8 minutes in the first period on the road. So I don't know. I mean, I have comfort in the fact that UC Saros is the backup. I have comfort in the fact that if you need to go to your backup, they're probably the team that's in the best spot. But Pekka Rinne is tough. I don't know. It really depends. He's Jekyll and Hyde. 100% Jekyll and Hyde.
Let's just, for the fun of it, since we're throwing in all the teams from the Central there, let's throw in the other two that are in the hunt that could potentially make the playoffs as well, Minnesota and Colorado, with Dubnyk and Varmalov. Do any of the either of those? I mean, Dubnyk, when he's on, he seems to be really incredible, but he also seems hot and cold to me. And I am not sold on Colorado's goaltending situation.
The problem with Colorado is I don't think their goaltending is ever going to be the issue. The fact that they're a one-line team is the issue, and in the playoffs.
And if they split that line up, they're not as effective. They don't go out and make everybody else better on the team like you want when you do split up your top players.
Right, and in the playoffs, you need to be able to be in a situation where you can get depth scoring. I don't trust that from Colorado. I don't think it's going to matter what Varlamov does in the playoffs. He's just not going to be able to overcome the lack of scoring that he's going to see up front, because it's just not going to be there. Unless that line goes off, it's just not going to be there. But yeah, I mean, you know, you look at Minnesota, they've got a little bit more depth than Colorado, but they don't have the game breakers that Colorado does. So I would probably trust the Minnesota goaltending and the Minnesota overall game more than I do Colorado.
All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace here in an RV at Johnny Walker RV, 4784 Boulder Highway. Come on down, say hi, check out all the great deals that they have here, 4784 Boulder Highway. That's one of the three locations here on Boulder Highway. Talking about the goaltending, and I know we've addressed this before, but when it comes to goaltending, are you sold that Vegas, hands down, has the best goaltending of the playoff teams out of the Pacific?
Well, yes. Yeah, I am. I mean, who do you trust more? You have to win one game. One game. Who do you trust more?
Oh,
Marc-Andre Fleury, David Riddick.
Who hasn't been there.
Or Martin Jones. Who do you trust more?
I mean, I agree with you. I also go with Fleury. And I still don't understand. Well, I guess I do a little bit because they think they're ahead of schedule. I still kind of don't understand why Arizona never addressed their goaltending problem, but I don't think they expected to be in this situation.
Well, I think Darcy Kemper's been good.
He's been okay, but he's still a backup.
I'd argue that he's been better than okay. I think he's one of the main reasons why they're in a position to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, you need to score goals for sure, but you need solid goaltending. And I think in the grand scheme of what has happened in Arizona when it comes to their goaltending, I think Darcy Kemper's been better than okay. He's gotten the job done for sure.
He's gotten the job done, but I still look at him as a backup goaltender. Well, I wouldn't trust him in the playoff situation.
How about this? The Arizona Coyotes have allowed 196 goals.
Yep.
You want to know what other team in the Pacific has allowed 196 goals?
That would be the Vegas Golden Knights.
Right. So why if Marc-Andre Fleury and Malcolm Subban have done a great job this year, why isn't Darcy Kemper?
I said he's been okay.
That's all I'm saying. I think he's been as serviceable as you need him to be.
Arizona definitely could use some more goal scoring.
Well, yeah, only 187 goals for.
Yeah, and I mean, nobody on the team really lighting it up at all, so. Now, they do have some young talent there that potentially could. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harness, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace here at Johnny Walker RV. Ari Platinum on site with us. Chris Chapman back in the studio. We have tickets to give away for the Edmonton game. When we come back, we're talking a little bit about the playoffs here. And I want to get Ryan's thoughts on this, and I'll give mine as well, because there are players chiming in on it about the playoff format. And there are certainly some teams and players that are not so happy about it. Mainly those players come from the East. And, of course, they would be the players for Tampa Bay, Boston, and Toronto. Three of arguably, if not the three best teams in the NHL that, in the first two rounds, could very likely be playing each other and eliminating each other very early on. Want to get Ryan's thoughts on that as well. Lots more to get to here, including those Edmonton Oilers tickets. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. in an RV at Johnny Walker RV, 4784 Boulder Highway. That's Boulder Highway just north of Flamingo, one of their three locations here on Boulder Highway. Chris Chapman back in the studio. Ari Platinum here with us in the RV as we are doing the show live from the RV. And Ryan hoping desperately that we can somehow, some way, someday be on the road doing this show. We are in the 2460 Evo RV today, a 24-footer. Very nice, very spacious, full-size fridge, TV, everything really cool in here.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, I'm not going to lie. I love the stainless steel appliances. I like the fact that we could microwave some tofu right now if we wanted to.
Or something else.
It's great. It really is. It's so fun to be in an RV, and you're liking it. I know you were lukewarm on the idea, but the fact that we're so close and the fact that we're able to really bring out the best in one another, I think that's worth our weight in gold here.
Okay. Well, we are the Golden Knights Insider Show, so maybe it is. Hey, real quick, before we get to some of the arguments about the playoff format, what you think of it, what I think of it, what players think of it, mention the fact that Ben Bishop making 35 saves for his third straight shutout, beating Buffalo last night. His streak is now 204 minutes and 20 seconds. That's the second longest run for the Stars goaltender behind Ed Belfour, who had a streak of 219 minutes, 26 seconds. He's the third goaltender in franchise history with three consecutive shutouts. And by virtue of that shutout last night, he has now surpassed Marc-Andre Fleury for the longest minute streak of not giving up a goal in the NHL this season. So maybe Flower will have a little incentive to try to shut them out down there. Dallas does have trouble scoring goals, although Dallas certainly on a roll right now.
It'll be fun because I expect a very different game than the one we saw in Calgary. Both teams are going to be focused on their defensive structure and not allowing as many chances. It might not be as exciting of a game, but if the Golden Knights can take care of and really handle their transition game well, I'm not sure that we're going to see enough goal scoring out of Dallas to keep up.
By the way, you mentioned Calgary last night. How about Johnny Gaudreau? Has a hat trick, three assists as well. They win the game 9-4. Wow, all of a sudden their offense is back.
Well, we talked about it, and we talked about how when it comes to certain teams like Calgary that score a lot of goals and then it dries up, it's only a matter of time before that comes to be again. And the game against the Golden Knights was a game in which this team in Calgary was able to recapture their scoring touch, and look out. Now you got to look out.
Edmonton Oilers tickets coming up in just a bit. Let's look at the playoff format. They've done a lot of different ways of running the playoffs in the NHL over the years. It was the top team playing the 16th team. Then they went to Eastern and Western Conference. Now they go to the divisions. So in the Atlantic Division, Tampa Bay is the top team in the league, 110 points. Everybody knows that. Currently, they would play Columbus in the first round of the playoffs. Two of the second-best teams, and technically Boston is the second-best team with 93 points. Actually, they're a point behind San Jose right now. Them and Calgary both have 93 points, but they also play each other a lot. So Boston and Toronto would meet in the first round of the playoffs right now.
Mm-hmm.
Their reward for having successful seasons would be facing the top team in the league the series after that. Some of the players not crazy about this format. Steven Stamkos said, "I don't think it's an advantage to Toronto or Boston. What could be the top three teams in the whole league from one division and have to play that team in the first round? I don't think that's right." He went on to say, "I understand where the league is coming from a marketing perspective, wanting to get more rivalries early on. But from a team perspective of what you're grinding 82 games for during a season, is to finish as high as you can so you can have an advantage come playoff time." Obviously, Mr. Stamkos does not think it's necessarily an advantage, even though they're going to be the top team, being from the Atlantic, to have to face Boston or Toronto in the second round.
I don't disagree with Steven Stamkos. I mean, their reward is that they're going to have to face, depending on where everybody finishes at the end of the year, the Tampa Bay Lightning have had a fantastic season, and they might have to go through the second best team in the league just to get to the Eastern Conference Final. So I completely agree with them 100%. It's especially unfair when it comes to Toronto and Boston because they've been so good and they're so much better than the other teams in the Eastern Conference. It's you look at Washington, you look at Pittsburgh and what they've had to do over the course of the last 6 or 7 years. I mean, if the Washington Capitals don't draw the Pittsburgh Penguins in the second round, maybe they have more Stanley Cups. I mean, it's very possible, right? So I don't disagree whatsoever. I think you go 1 through 8, and that's how it should be. You reward the best teams in the conference by having them face the worst team to qualify for the playoffs in that conference.
You do still like to separate it, though, East and West, because many years ago they actually had 1 through 16.
No, you don't play the East enough to have it be 1-16. I think
you'd have to change 8, all the scheduling and everything else to try to make it a more balanced schedule.
Right. It's 1 through 8, 1 through 8, and that's just how you run it. I mean, that's how, in my opinion,
would
the
you
playoffs,
reseed it then like they used to in the past, or would you just I mean, that's just the way it is.
No, I mean, if you're an 8 seed and you beat a 1 seed, then you play in that bracket. I wouldn't reseed at all. I wouldn't do anything crazy or different. I would just go 1 through 8, and that's what it is. That's the way you need to get through in order to win a Stanley Cup.
I did kind of used to like the reseeding. I thought it was kind of a cool and a novel idea. But at the same time, right now, when you know what the brackets are going to be, if you win your series, you know who you're preparing for in the next round. You're not waiting to see who wins the series, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a second, these guys just upset these, so now we have a different opponent than what we've been practicing for if you should sweep a team or something. So I kind of understand that. But I didn't mind it in the old way either, but I do like the 1 through 8. I think it is more fair. Now, John Tavares of Toronto, he had a little bit more. I don't know if you want to say that he's more in favor of it or if he's just trying to be more politically correct for the NHL. He said mostly it affects home ice. It's odd. It's unusual. At the same time, if you want to get to the ultimate prize, you've got to beat some really good teams. The best teams in the league, the best players in the world, whether that comes early or later on, you've got to find a way to do it.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You have to beat the best teams. I get it. Like, you have to go out there. If you're the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're going to have to beat one of Boston or Toronto, and then you're going to have to beat potentially Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, I guess, if you buy them. I don't. But, yeah, you're going to have to beat the best teams, and I get that. I understand that. But where it comes into play is imagine John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. Imagine John Cooper has this team in Tampa that should play in the Eastern Conference Final because they're just that good. They've been better than everybody else. Now imagine that team having to play the second-best team in the conference, not in the Eastern Conference Final, but in the second round of the playoffs. And then imagine that team that should have been in the Eastern Conference Final losing in the second round. How does John Cooper keep his job? Well, that's what it affects. It's not that the Tampa Bay Lightning shouldn't have to play Boston or Toronto. They should. In the conference final, if they are the two best teams in the conference, how is it they're not facing each other at the end of the conference final?
And you can even expand on that a little bit more. If Tampa Bay does what you expect them to do and they beat Boston or Toronto in that second round, and right now Boston, again, arguably the second best team in the NHL, it's kind of not fair to Boston and their fans either that they're facing the number one seed in the second round. It almost seems as unfair, if not more unfair to them. It's like, wait, we've just had a phenomenal season, and now we're done. And quite frankly, just by playing Toronto in the first round, the second-best team could easily be knocked out in the first round with all the firepower that Toronto has.
Now, it only matters if, you know, if it's Toronto that finishes second, if it's Boston that finishes second. It only matters if they take care of their series. But imagine finishing third in the conference, being Toronto or Boston, and having to play the second-best team in the conference. I mean, your road to get to the Stanley Cup is harder than it is for the Penguins, for the Washington Capitals, for any other team, the New York Islanders, it's just simply harder. There's no way around that. It is not an advantage to be better, and it's really only in that division, because that division's really stacked at the top and not so good anywhere else. But again, to me, if I'm John Cooper, I hate the idea of having to play the second-best team in the second round, because the asterisk on your season, if you lose, isn't that you beat or lost to the second-best team in the league. It's that you lost in the second round when you were a juggernaut and you should have won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and again, Boston and Toronto, one of their asterisks is going to be knocked out in the first round of the playoffs.
Well, right, and that's a tough thing for Toronto, because you look at what Kyle Dubas has done, you look at what he's tried to build, you look at the fact that John Tavares is supposed to be the savior and the guy that brings a Stanley Cup. That narrative changes, and changes drastically, if Toronto can't win a round in the playoffs.
How much do you think Islander fans are praying for that scenario, that they move on from the first round and Toronto gets knocked out in the first round, regardless of the reasons, because they have to play Boston, but they can say, oh yeah, who needed Tavares? We're moving on. They're out in the first round.
Well,
because you know how fans are.
I would argue that the Islanders fans don't want to see that happen, because I would argue the Islanders fans want a scenario in which they play the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Islanders organization ends the playoff run for John Tavares.
So they think they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I'm just saying, I think that if you were to ask the Islanders fans who made that great video, Dear John, to John Tavares, called him a pajama boy, if you gave them the scenario, Tavares could lose in the first round, or you could eliminate Tavares from the playoffs, but that means Tavares will have success in the playoffs, they would take that option. They would absolutely love to end the season of John Tavares.
Well, right, if that was an option. But it might even be more heart-wrenching if Tavares and the Maple Leafs knocked them out of the playoffs.
Sure, but it's not as satisfying.
No, but it's certainly rolling. I think they'd like to see him knocked out early. I think there'd be hashtag done in one all over the place from Islander fans. But it remains to be seen. I'm not so sure that either one of them are moving on past the first round anyhow, but we will see. You know, one thing that I love about hockey players is that they're not as braggadocious as a lot of the other sports out there. In fact, even some of the teams that you don't like, you still look at some of the players and go, you know what, that's kind of cool. Last night, Joe Thornton registered 2 assists. As a result, he moved past the legendary Stan Mikita for 14th on the NHL's all-time scoring list with 1,469 points. After the game, he was speaking, and he didn't say, yeah, I'm the man, pumping his chest, you know, making muscles, posing down or something. He told Sportsnet's Mark Spector, I don't deserve to be up there with these types of guys. You mentioned those names, it's mind-boggling. I shouldn't be there. Joe Thornton's a pretty darn good hockey player, and he's a hard-working guy. I love this kind of humility that he would say, he does deserve to be there, but I think that this is heartfelt. I believe that he actually feels this way. I'm not a big Sharks fan, but Joe Thornton, I think that's pretty cool that he's saying, look, I shouldn't even be in the conversation with a guy like Stan Mikita.
You look at hockey players, they're incredibly graceful when it comes to this kind of stuff. They put the team first. It's always been that way. That's just how hockey players are in general. This type of reaction from Joe Thornton does not surprise me in the slightest. He's a great guy. He's a really good guy on and off the ice. If there's ever a player that you wanted to root for to win a Stanley Cup before he retires, it would be Joe Thornton, just maybe not this season.
Well, one guy that some of the Pittsburgh Penguins did root for to win a Stanley Cup, and he got it last year, was Alex Ovechkin. Well, last night when the Penguins and Capitals faced each other, Ovechkin tallied his 1,200th point in the same game. Malkin reached the 1,000-point mark. Milestones for both of them in the same game. Pretty cool.
The Washington Capitals just crapped the bed in that game. My goodness. the Penguins, 3 goals in just under 2 minutes, 2 from Sidney Crosby, and all of a sudden it looked like the Capitals of old.
No, I agree with you. And Pittsburgh right now currently in the third spot in the Metropolitan. They would face, at this point, the Islanders in the first round. That's why I'm not so sure that Islanders fans want to be rooting for Toronto and Tavares to move on past the first round. All right, hey, we need to give away some tickets.
We do. It's for the Edmonton game this coming Sunday. And I'm going to go with caller number 11.
11?
Caller number 11 for Mark Messier, the Edmonton Oiler who has more Stanley Cups than Wayne Gretzky.
All right, caller 11, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Chapman is absolutely celebrating back in the studio. Back to wrap it up here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, wrapping it up on a Wednesday from Johnny Walker RV, 4784 Boulder Highway, in the RV today. Congratulations to Michelle. Michelle is going to be checking out the Edmonton Oilers and Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and a team desperately looking for victories to try to make it into the playoffs as they take on the Golden Knights on St. Patrick's Day. That is a 7 p.m. game, a little bit later than most Sunday games are.
Again, just making dreams come true. That's what we're doing.
Making dreams come true.
All we're about here is making dreams come true. My dream to do a broadcast inside of an RV. Ari's dream to not use the bathroom at all during a one-hour broadcast. Frank's dream to just get through this 1 hour of doing a show in an RV with me.
Team.
And giving away tickets to see Connor McDavid.
Which was very cool. Hey, by the way, we did not have a physical altercation between the two of us in the RV. However,
yet
in the Federal Hockey League, there was an altercation between the owner of the Elmira Enforcers and on-ice officials that caused police intervention and the cancellation of the game after just one period of play. The head of the officials, Eugene Binda, resigned after that game and said he's tired of this garbage going on in this league. He said, we've had enough. The league has been known for not protecting our guys, but we've never been physically assaulted. This one here was over the edge, and we're taking a stand. We're not going to be treated this way. I don't go to work to get beat up. I don't go to work to get spit on.
That's very serious, and it's anti everything that was awesome about this broadcast.
All right, TC Martin's up next. Thanks for listening. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Talk to you tomorrow. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Enjoy the rest of your evening.